Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Career 360, hosted by Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Well, you're listening to Money FM 89.3. Well, with the recent COVID-19 outbreak and could potentially derail the global economy, economic turbulence is to be expected. Well, to navigate such market challenges, women's leadership in business is critical in driving significant economic opportunities. And previously, experts have cited gender equality in APAC could add $6.2 trillion or 12% of regional gross domestic product. And organizations with high levels of diversity bring in a higher return on equity and capital buffers, and reported higher innovation revenue as well. But on Friday, the Center for Creative Leadership, otherwise known as CCL, launched a research report on the challenges faced by women today in leadership roles. And we speak to Elisa Mullis, Managing Director and Vice President of Asia Pacific at CCL, to discuss their findings. Well, Elisa, the findings were gleaned from surveying over 300 people working and residing in the Asia Pacific region, including Singapore, Malaysia, and the Philippines. Share with us some of the key highlights from the report.
Hi, Bernard. Yes. Well, first of all, we see that gaps in perception may be part of the answer to why gender gaps are not closing faster. So a couple of the things we asked, is there equal opportunity in the workplace? The responses showed us that men's perception is that 59% see equal opportunity in the workplace, whereas women only see 37%. That's a 22% gap. Also, when it comes to gender pay gaps, are they real? Are they really there? Well, of course, we know they are. It's about 14% globally, 15% in Asia. Only 44% of men we surveyed agreed there is a pay gap in most workplaces, compared to 72% for women. So a 28% gap there.
Mm-hmm. And compared to men, women in your study were less likely to receive a challenging leadership role. I mean, how big is the disparity?
Yes, absolutely. So 77% of men were likely to receive a challenging role and 58% of women. And, you know, these are some of the limiting factors. There are many. And when we look to categorize them, we see two types of limiting factors, pull factors and push factors. So pull factors are limitations women place on themselves, like some of the top ones are asking for money, overcoming perfectionism, dealing with self-criticism, limiting beliefs. Push factors are the external drivers. So it's the network, organization, society, or culture. And not receiving challenging leadership roles, for example, would be a push factor.
Mm-hmm. So how then do we successfully gauge diversity roadblocks?
Well, these pull and push factors are a great way, because in the past, it tends to be women, you know, in the whole campaign of leaning in, look really at the pull factors. What am I doing wrong? Or their own hesitations. I don't think I can do the role. How am I going to be spread too thin? What we want to see is more of attention paid also to the push factors, things in the organization that may be hindering them, like biases in the promotion and selection processes. Mm-hmm. So both pull and push need to be uncovered by the women themselves, by other stakeholders, for us to really remove the roadblocks.
So what strategies or measures should we be looking at to kind of identify these roadblocks and employ inclusive decision making?
Well, I think, you know, we see that quotas and targets have been in place as measures. Those certainly are good, but we don't want to rely on those alone. The right approach needs to have a comprehensive set of measures. Something else you could look at, one of the fundamental things we found is really important in our study, is having an inclusive culture where all employees feel respected and valued. So one thing you could be measuring there, we know inclusive culture boosts employee psychological safety. And that's something that can also be measured. So I think it's a combination of measured, and in addition to something like a target being set, not only for females, but other diverse groups.
Right. So how can businesses also find and keep the best talent within this particular pool?
Well, I think beyond mentoring using sponsorship and another Center for Creative Leadership research on female leadership, we found that sponsorship, it's about not just those who are going to give advice or coaching, but helping identify future roles for that female leader and helping them get there. Also, I would say that removing bias from recruitment and promotion, there are many different AI technologies. Pymetrics, one of our partners, is great in this space, would also be key.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're speaking to Elisa Malis, Managing Director and Vice President of Asia Pacific at the Center for Creative Leadership. Well, encouragingly, over the last 5 years, the proportion of global businesses employing at least one woman in a senior management has risen by about 20 percentage points. There was 12 points in the last year alone. I mean, do you think we might see fair representation increasing in the future?
Well, I think another study we just saw here in Singapore around International Women's Day shows that at management level, we went from 33% to 31% representation of women. So we see progress in pockets, and then in some places we're slipping back. Certainly the wage gap is showing negative progress. So I think we have to be careful because there was been a lot of progress and momentum in the last 15 years, and in some cases it seems to be plateauing. So I think we need to know that we haven't solved this problem yet, and therefore we need to keep up these great efforts, keep up the momentum from organizations. Organizations hold the key. Mm-hmm. Male and female leaders are really critical mm-hmm. to solving this.
Well, however, like you said, globally, the proportion of women in senior roles is still lying short of the 30% tipping point that's expected to open the gates to gender parity. So should more women be saying yes to top leadership positions?
I think it depends on what you really want. So my advice here is the first step is for women to know what they want and then to also look at both the push and pull factors that may be hindering them. I think too often not paying attention to that may hold women back. But also when we look at board level, and here in Singapore there's a great initiative around more women on boards in our Bold 3.0 research, it's the most extensive research on Asian boards, we found that many of the boards are still an old boys club. I think we're moving in the right direction there, and having women who want to step in those roles, okay, not everyone does, mm-hmm. But then getting the barriers out of the way for them to do that is key.
Mm-hmm. Well, here in Singapore, Lisa, in the public sector, the median pay for women is about the same, or even in some sectors higher than for men. I mean, might pay inequality be a reason for women less likely to receive a challenging leadership role in non-public sector positions?
I think certainly across Asia, so we have the gap that's been measured of about 15%. I think Singapore is certainly better. And pay is not always the only limiting factor. We know that it's one limiting factor. One of the challenges that came up, number one, in our research was asking for money, sales role, or in negotiation for salary. So sometimes women are finding it difficult to get that step in asking for more, right?
Mm-hmm. And more companies are also stepping up to build gender-balanced teams, as you mentioned, and hire or promote more women. Yet only 58% of women are likely to accept challenging roles. Now, what is the difference between women and men when it comes to accepting a role?
Yeah, so the next question we ask, so when offered those challenging leadership roles, actually men were more likely to accept them. So women turned them down more often, 11% of the time versus 2% of the time. And this we see connects to doubting their abilities and also concerns about seeming overly ambitious. Here in Asia, and this study was Asia-focused, we see that women really don't want to be associated with the idea that they're egotistical or selfish, and the idea of coming across overly ambitious actually is connected to that.
So you mean it's usually you shy away from like a top position in the company and so on and so forth. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, and so what we see is that some of the behaviors that are required for senior leadership are actually discouraged in society for women. And this is, I guess, part of what we call the push factors, right? What's expected in society versus what's needed in senior leadership roles.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, Lisa, anything else that we should note from your report?
I think we just see that organizations and women and men hold the key to lifting women into these senior leadership roles. So, of course, women need to lean in, but they also need to lift perceptions. I think at least recognizing these gaps in perception is one very important thing. Recognizing that pay gaps do exist is very important. And then I would just add that women then need to ask for help. Often they tend to try to take care of everything and everyone themselves. And asking for sponsorship, asking for mentoring, and also asking the organization to change, asking for the policies they see are needed. Ultimately, I think the objective of all of this is knowing that with gender parity, with a balance of women and men leading, we will have better organizations and a better world.
Mm-hmm. Well, Elisa Malis, Managing Director and Vice President of Asia Pacific at the Center for Creative Leadership, thank you very much for your time right here at Money FM.
Thank you, Bernard.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.